The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Talk to us about protecting yourself from flu this winter at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Good afternoon, this Friday afternoon. How are you? It's cold out there, but it's nice. It's fresh. And the sun is shining and the sky is blue and it's a good to be alive day, I think. Good news today. Congratulations to Stephen Teep. In the last few minutes, Stephen has been named Cork Person of the Year for 2019. And we've spoken to Stephen on numerous occasions over the last couple of years. You know his story by now. His wife, Irene, died of cervical cancer. And if her smear tests or cervical check had been right, she would be still with us today. And she'd be still a mother to Noah and Oscar and still a wife to Stephen. And Stephen decided out of his grief and a terrible tragedy that he was going to do something about it. And he's been an advocate for other women and for patients. And he's been on various committees and he's been very outspoken and he's been brilliant. And he deserves the accolade of Cork Person of the Year 2019. And he gave a very emotional speech. And he said, "This is emotional because I shouldn't be here. What I do, I don't do for any achievement. The most important thing is that this never happens again to any family." So congratulations to Stephen Teep. Glad to hear that. On the show today, Kathy Kelly will be guiding us through the soundtrack to her life. I knew this, but I'd forgotten it, that a number of years ago, Kathy displaced Dan Brown and J.K. Rowling at the top of the bestsellers list. She's on book number 20, The Family Gift. And she, as I say, she's going to guide us through the soundtrack to her life. Also, we have comedian Enya Martin. She's going to drop in for a chat. Should be a laugh as well. The last time we spoke to her was on a barge in Longford during the summer. But today she's on terra firma, dry land. And I hope she's hungry as well, because we'll be tasting some dumplings. Tomorrow is the Chinese New Year and there's a Dublin Chinese New Year festival happening over the weekend. And May and Ava are coming in to introduce us to dumplings. Have I had dumplings before? I think I have. In the restaurants that we go into and the menus that we get in Chinese restaurants, there are very few dumplings, but they're hugely popular in China and they're a huge part of their New Year's celebrations. It's a family thing where everybody helps to make them and then they cook them and then they eat them. And we'll find out about the history of the dumpling and we'll be sampling some of those as well. And Enya Martin will help us with that. On food, Jerry Butler was making a shepherd's pie last night in Connecticut, in the United States of America, and he was listening to Colin McInerney while he made his shepherd's pie, because we played late afternoon yesterday. I don't think we've ever got as big a reaction to a piece of music or a song. And when I went up after the show yesterday, there were a lot of frazzled people in the office. And as I walked in, yeah, that's M-A-C, yeah, new word, C-O-N, yeah, new word, I-O-M-A-I-R-E, because they got so many calls about the piece of music and how to spell Colin McInerney. And there probably is a case to be made, and I might give Colin a ring, that he, you know, he could simplify his name. You know, the man with the fiddle, or just Colin with the fiddle, or the genius on the fiddle, I don't know. But I'll give it to you one more time because we got so many inquiries about it yesterday. Colm, C-O-L-M, Mock, as in son of, Con, C-O-N, new word, I-O-M-A-I-R-E, and you'll get that. And he has three or four albums and they're all brilliant and he is a genius. Now, this came into ray@rte.ie. It's a bit of a long one, but it's worth it. We were listening to you yesterday on the way back from Dublin Airport after a life-affirming couple of days. We'd been to our old village in the Alps, where we spent about 15 years running a holiday business. A friend of ours from the Zor died last week in a freak accident. His family go back many generations, and now he's buried next to his much older relatives. Nico's granny was there, watching her healthy grandson move on to the next world. It was heartbreaking. 43 years old, leaving behind a young child, loving wife, and plenty of nieces and nephews. Nico, A super kind, upbeat man with real old school values and a constant love of improving and learning. He was a ski jumper on the French team, an incredible ski instructor, a great dad, and the love shown for him was evident in the service at the small mountain church. About 600 people turned up with ski instructors from most resorts in the area and even some from the Italian resort on the other side of the mountain. The whole shock has given us a massive kick up the backside. We left the Alps when we found out we were expecting our third child in 2016. Life at almost 2,000 metres during the winter is 100 miles an hour, and business and looking after guests was always our main priority before our children. This dedication started to shift, and the business we'd created and loved turned into something that was now taking us away from our new young family. We made a tough decision to make a calmer life for ourselves in Galway, where my wife Sarah is from. It was the best decision we made for many reasons. The shift was hard. Blue skies, crisp, light days and days on the mountain are a trade-off, but we have traded them for time with our young ones, which we know we can never get back. I guess this whole email is mainly to say that whatever you're doing, ask yourself if you're doing the most with your day. Are you on autopilot or are you actually present? Can you tweak some things to get priorities in line as things change in an instant? Don't wait for next month or next year when things will be better, easier, slower. Turn your phone off for certain hours each day. Breathe slow, deep and feel it. Get out for a walk, a run, or just stand near the ocean and genuinely slow down and appreciate it. We're alive and lucky to be here. Read to your children more. Get outside with them more. Photograph and do things with them and enjoy the simple things. If you're ever out west, please feel free to look us up. Our cottages will be perfect for a radio show and we have tons of space. Oh, that's tons. Sorry, it's metric tons as opposed to old style imperial tons. We're right near the sea in Barna Village and a short drive from Galway and Connemara. That's Dan and Sarah. Thanks so much for that. That's heartfelt, and Nico sounds like an amazing person, and tragedy that died so young at 43. Sounds like he died doing something that he enjoyed doing, which doesn't make it any easier for his friends and family. But thanks for that, Dan and Sarah. Wise words, and there are people who are making millions out of sharing those words with us about being in the moment, taking things slower, turning off our phones, be by the sea, all of those things. And speaking of people who are making millions of that sort of thing, Gwyneth Paltrow, you know, Goop and all that sort of thing. It's worth $250 million, her businesses. And it's going to get bigger and bigger because she has a program coming out on Netflix next week called The Goop Lab. And I had a look at the trailer, and this is just a little bit of the trailer for The Goop Lab. Gwyneth Paltrow, here we go.
When I started Goop in 2008, I was like, my calling is something else besides making out with Matt Damon on screen or whatever. We're here one time, one life. How can we really milk the shit out of this?
Boom, boom. Loads of question marks over lots of things that she does in her Goop lab. And calling it a lab suggests that there's something scientific about it. Very little, I'd say. Very little scientific about it. We told you, we've spoken about her before. $956 for a lure oil. And the most recent thing this week was a candle for £58. This candle smells like my vagina. Seemingly they're sold out. They're sold out, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on in the world? I think I know what's going on in the world. People need something to attach themselves to. They're looking for meaning to life. And some people get it with Gwyneth Paltrow and Goop and candles and loo roll that cost nearly $1,000. Because it was pretty straightforward years ago. We all had religion and it all made sense back then. And now increasingly people don't have that. And they're looking for other ways to get meaning from life. And into that void steps people like Gwyneth Paltrow and makes $250 million out of it and likely to make more. There's a brilliant article by Marina Hyde in The Guardian today on Gwyneth Paltrow. It's laugh out loud funny. And she's not a fan, just before you read it. So if you're a fan of Gwyneth, don't go and read that Marina Hyde article. But if you want a laugh, it's good. And all the facts are there. All the facts are there. Good crack. Our friends at Operation Transformation have asked us to tell you that tomorrow is the day of their annual nationwide walks. There are around 130 walks taking place all over the country. Let's hope it stays fine for them. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So 130 all over the country. Some ones of note, Catherine will be in Tullamore. We spoke to leader Lorraine on Wednesday and she'll be with Carl Henry at the Cavan Institute. Dr. Sumi will be leading the walk from the community centre in Emo in County Leash. That's her neck of the woods. Shane will be walking with Dr. Eddie from Leisureland in Salt Hill. And Barry, Andrea and Tanya, the Cork contingent, will be all on the walk from CIT Bishopstown in Cork along with Aoife, the Operation Transformation Dietitian. So get the runners or the comfortable shoes on tomorrow morning and you can find out more at rte.ie/OT, as in Operation Transformation. Do we have time? We have time for this. This is brilliant. According to a new study from the University of Sydney, they've found that certain farm animals can communicate with each other through certain vocal characteristics. So cows, for example, when you think they're just random sounds coming out of a field of cows, they're actually chatting away to each other. They're probably talking about you. Oh, would you look at that one there? Huh? And she's looking in at us, trying to get our attention. And we're looking back in at her. And she thinks we don't know that we're going to end up on her plate as a steak. Oh, we do. Oh, we do know that. But it's science now. A total of 333 cows. Difficult to say if you're from the Midlands. The vocalisations of 333 cows were recorded and analysed as part of the University of Sydney research and it's been published in Scientific Reports. The data was then used to examine how cows keep and use their individual moves throughout their lives, even when among each other. So you know, this is a typical conversation, for example. You know, you've got, stop. You're speaking a load of BS. Ha ha! See what I did there? It doesn't matter. That sounds like one of the political debates I overheard recently. So they're communicating to each other, not to freak you out the next time you're looking at a field full of cows. Now, 5 on 5, 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. Congratulations to Stephen Teep on being named Cork Person of the Year. More than well deserved. Just heard the news, says Maura. And congrats to Stephen on his hard work, to somebody else. And on Colin McInumera, I spent the evening listening to his tunes last night. Gorgeous on a winter's evening. How about the fiddler from the Frames? Good suggestion. Because he is currently the fiddler from the Frames. That's a listener in Navan. And he could simply be called Colm. But there's a lot of Colms out there. Ray, Colin McInumera is also a member of the insanely fantastic group, The Dloaming. A collection of talented gems, says that person, including Martin Hayes and Irlo Leonard. No end to his talents, says Maven County Clare. And if you want to appreciate life, visit a cemetery and randomly look at the ages of the people that died on the headstones and ask yourself, what wouldn't they give to swap places with you? That'll make you appreciate your lot in life. Reg, don't know. I prefer to stand on a headland looking out the Atlantic Ocean, taking in deep breaths and taking in the view. And then that's how I appreciate life. But whatever works for you, whatever works for you. 5 on 5, 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. I met a man today who used to go to a nightclub that I used to work in and he accosted me. He was working on a house down there outside RTE and he says, "You never play my song. You never played my song back in the day." And I said, "What was your song?" And he said, OMD, I can't remember the song, OMD. And we were chatting away about Newbridge and Kildare and all sorts of things and various people that we knew that we had in common. And then at the end I said, "What was that song that I never played for you? I could play it on the radio today." And he says, "Enjoy the Silence." I said, "Well, that wasn't OMD, it was Depeche Mode." "Was it really?" says he, in his Newbridge accent. There you go, dedicated to Chip Dowling from Newbridge, working in Dublin. 5 on 5, 5 on for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. A lot of reaction to cows, strangely enough. The moos, the ones we hear in town at 6 in the morning are moos that mean hunger. You really can hear the difference. And I think cows sound so sad sometimes. Is there a happy moo? I've never heard one. Doesn't sound happy to me. No. At a stretch. Yeah, and Teresa says, I witnessed in my childhood the soft lowing of cows in Wicklow and the frantic high-pitched roaring of the cows as they were herded down to the docks for shipping. The contrast has stayed with me to this day. We spoke to that amazing lady from America, Temple Grandin. She's an advocate for people with autism, but her line of work is designing humane slaughter facilities for cows. And she has this it's unique connection with cows. You have to look at the documentary. It's an amazing documentary, Temple Grandin. And she's an amazing lady, and it's fascinating stuff. On Colin McInumera, why can't Colin just be allowed to keep his beautiful Irish name without having to anglicise it to make it easier for others? As an Irish speaker, I'm asked constantly what my name is in English, and it wrecks my head. Gurnamila. Yeah, fair enough. But I'm sure Colin would like more people to listen to his music, and if his name stands between that, well, he might change it. My Alexa had great difficulty with Colin's name, you see. Downloaded it all on Spotify eventually last night. Colin McInumera. We'll keep saying his name anyway. Colin McInumera, Colin McInumera, Colin McInumera, Colin McInumera, Colin McInumera.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Taking care of the help you need to stop smoking at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland. Email ray at rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, every Friday we invite somebody into Studio 10 and ask them to guide us through the soundtrack to their lives. And this Friday in particular, it's the turn of Cathy Kelly.
Hello!
Hello! How are you?
I would just say, we sounded like animals there. I have to tell you about sheep in a minute, but first of all, I must point out that I have a bad cold. I've had two flus and I'm snuffling. So
right, two flus,
so I'm still snuffling. So
anybody can have one. You're greedy.
I know, I'm greedy.
There was a break in the middle, obviously.
There was a little break in the middle. And
now, is it really flu?
Oh, well, they say the definition of flu is that if it was raining 50 euro notes in the garden, you wouldn't be able to go out and pick them up. And believe me, that was it.
That was it. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're recuperating.
I'm recuperating, but I'm still snuffling. So I met a friend for a coffee in the radio centre and she said, you're sniffing a lot. She said, you better mention this or everyone will think you've got a cocaine habit. So under the circumstances, I thought I should mention.
Right.
Swear to God.
Book number 20.
Number 20.
That's a huge
and I'm still only 12.
Milestone, isn't it?
Who would have thought?
Congratulations.
Thank you. It never feels like a milestone to me. You know, I'm not very good at the self-congratulatory thing. You know, I wish I was. I wish I was able to say.
But you mentioned your main character in the book is Freya. Mm-hmm. And she is reading Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah.
So I presume that you've read Eckhart Tolle,
well,
by way of research.
I have. I read it a long time ago, and I think I may even have finished it. But yeah, I need to read it a few more times. I do try and live in the moment, in the now, but I do constantly go into the catastrophic future.
Do you?
Yeah, desperate.
And then do you not like this? This started because you don't celebrate things in your life, and do you have an attitude of gratitude?
I do. I'm hugely, hugely grateful, but I'm very bad at taking the compliment type thing.
Yeah, well, that's just Irish, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I think that's a huge part of it. So when people say, God, 20 books, that's amazing. I sort of go, ah, yeah, sure, you know, but like whatever. And isn't the weather great?
Yeah, how many words is that?
I don't know. Well, years and years ago, books were bigger. I know this is going to sound wildly unscientific, but it isn't. And booksellers and publishers have found that people, and especially in these modern times when people's attention spans are not as shorter,
yeah.
That people like shorter books. So you could get away with a mammoth 230,000. I once had a book that was 230,000 books.
Pages.
Words.
Words, not 230,000 pages, yeah,
and,
words.
Which was like, sure, it was a brick. You could hit a burger.
What was that one Jenny loved? And the Goldfinch, wasn't that?
Oh, the Goldfinch. Wasn't that
huge?
That was another brick.
Yeah.
See, that was a complete brick. Although, according to the Kindle people, only a very small percentage of people actually finish that. They can tell if people finish books.
That's of course they can.
Scary. I know. They know everything.
The advantage, I suppose, with reading a book like that on Kindle is that you don't know how big it is.
That is true. You keep going, I wonder how percentage Anyway,
the family gift, book number 20. And it is notable, not only because it's your 20th book, but also because you write in the first person for the first time.
Thank you. Yes.
Now, is that obviously, is that more difficult?
Well, do you know what? I'd always written in the sort of the he said, she said. And
mode, yeah.
Yeah, and then suddenly I thought for this book, I thought, will I give this a shot? And I said it to my lovely friend, Marion Keyes, and she said, oh God, yeah, yeah, go for it. She said, I did it, and she has done it. And she said, it was brilliant. And I went, okay. And it was a joy. You just belt along.
Yeah, because Freya is a 6 foot tall.
Yes.
Swedish.
natural blonde. She's the opposite of me, basically.
Natural blonde. And she's a TV cook, a celebrity chef.
So basically the total opposite of me, because I'm 5 foot nothing and my hair is very blonde, but it's dyed. And I, as my family will testify, I can't cook. But it's, I think.
But is that fun, getting inside that
total
body?
Fun.
That 6 foot tall body.
Total fun. And you can have so much, like the whole thing is fun. When you write, people always think, how much of you is in it? And I think all authors put, there's got to be a bit of you in the people you write.
Mm.
You know, you couldn't do it otherwise. It wouldn't be authentic.
Mm.
But, you know, there's slivers of you in everything.
And then that brings us to a serious note, because I read your interview with Donal O'Donoghue in the RT Guide.
The amazing Donal O'Donoghue,
yeah.
The amazing RT Guide.
Lovely
Donal
man.
Could get, I tell you, he's amazing.
And Freya had a trauma in her life, and you drew on a trauma from your life.
Yeah.
And I know it's
no,
it's difficult, but you've been to therapy for it.
Yeah.
It happened when in your...
Oh, it happened when I was 20. And I had actually written about this before, but I never said that it was me and nobody picked up on it before. I can't remember what book was it, second book, third book, whatever book it was. And I wrote about it before, but you can write about deeply personal things and nobody notices.
Mm.
If that makes any sense.
Well, I think it does, because there are so many things in the book. Why would they pick out one and attach it to you?
True. And I think there is a belief with books which are categorised in a very negative way into women's fiction, which is somehow seen as lesser, that, this is dross or dross, or never know how you pronounce that word. Therefore, there can't be any depth in it. But so I've written about a lot of deep things. But yeah, I had written about this before. But what happened to me was a sort of a Me Too, not sort of a 100%, a Me Too moment, which was devastating. And I think like all victims of something like that, you are full of shame. I didn't tell anyone. One amazing person did try and help me, but at a later stage, and got into terrible trouble for their because of doing it. I kept it to myself, and I just couldn't cope. I just went into a very dark place, and it took me a very long time to recover from it. But because I am possibly an actress in some levels, and I had this, I was very good at putting up a facade. I can put up one hell of a facade. Nobody ever believes when I sit down and I say, yeah, I suffer from severe anxiety and I've had depression, and people go, what? You're always so happy. So I put up an amazing facade to get through it. I didn't want to be a victim. And the reality is, as we still see every day, that women are victims in lots of sexual situations, and they aren't believed, or, I mean, the conviction rate is low.
Minuscule.
Yeah. So it's... I wouldn't have wanted to go through that. I wouldn't have known how to go through that at the age of 20.
Yeah. And when eventually then did you say, I have a problem here and I need to seek help?
It was probably, oh gosh, I tried to seek help when I was in my 20s, but even then I couldn't probably, I think I had a little bit of CBT.
Or
cognitive behavioural therapy, which is sort of a...
Yeah.
You know, sort of a 6-slot session, which is quite fast and simple. And I couldn't open up. Even then, I couldn't open up. I was just too ashamed. And then later, you know, in my 40s, I went into it in proper depth with psychoanalysis, which is brilliant. Everyone should do psychoanalysis.
If you can afford it.
If you can afford it, absolutely. If you can afford it, and I am...
But it worked. It worked.
Grateful every day. Well, I think you're left with, you know, you recover from these things and you go on. Yeah. Everything leaves a scar, but
and
you move on.
Because, you know, you mentioned Me Too already, and because there's been so much talk about it over the last, it must be nearly 3 years now, was that triggering for you?
Like, very triggering.
Yeah.
I've actually bought the Ronan Farrow book.
I don't read it. I wouldn't suggest you. I've read it.
Really?
And now I'm reading, I don't know why I'm doing this, but now I'm reading another book called All the President's Women.
Oh.
About Donald Trump's behavior.
Oh, do you know what? You know, that man triggers me. No, he doesn't trigger me, actually. I just, if I hear him on the radio, I turn him off. I often think radio stations have copped on to that now and they don't play him, his actual voice so much. I do wonder if that's the case.
Yeah, but Catch and Kill by Ronan Farrow is an amazing book.
It's a stunning book. I've read a lot. I've actually read a massive amount about sexual abuse and so on and so forth. So I can do it. I can, but yes, it is triggering. I suppose the idea is you keep reading it and you keep learning something new, and I don't know whether that's good.
And is there any consolation to the fact that it was there was an epidemic of it? Is that any consolation whatsoever?
It makes you very angry. I think
I mean, for you, that you weren't, you know, that you weren't.
Yes. Oh no, there's a huge consolation, because when you meet other people who've gone through the same thing, that's actually phenomenal. And, you know, since I've started speaking about it, so many people have said it to me, and that's wonderful is perhaps the wrong word.
No,
but it's very,
it's consolation.
Yes, it's a huge consolation, and you're not the only person, and you learn so much about what they went through is similar to what you went through. So there's there's enormous power, and when I say sisterhood, this happens to men too. I mean, it's
not as much.
Not as much. Absolutely, but it does.
I don't think it'll happen to the same extent again. I think there's been a seismic shift.
I hope so.
And the other thing is that there are a lot more women now in positions of power. Hopefully they won't abuse their positions of power, but then they will call out this behaviour.
The only thing I would say though, Ray, is the rates of femicide are actually staggering. For example, I was reading a thing recently, a friend of mine who has gone through stalking brought it to my attention. Now, there's no stalking legislation in this country, right? And with stalkers, there is this amazing UK psychoanalyst has done, she works within the criminal field, has this 8-point plan, well, this 8-point way of looking at when a stalker is moving into a whole different ball game, right? Because most women who are killed by people they know, and quite often boyfriends, husbands, previous boyfriends, as in the case of a certain number of stalkers. And this woman has done this research where she finds out where you can pinpoint at what level the stalker is at and when he becomes dangerous.
Yes, yeah. Now, the legislation in this country has changed quite recently. So there is now an offence for example, psychological abuse and, you know, so I maybe stalking might come under that, because it's only quite recently, as in last year.
Okay, but it was for a very long time. It was sort of interfering with. It's still very woolly.
We'll have to look into that.
Okay, right. We need to look into that.
Okay, we went down there.
We walked down that rabbit hole.
I'm delighted that you went to therapy and that, you know, you're out the other side. And some other time you'll come in and we'll have a longer chat about that. But you're here to guide us through the soundtrack to your life. So you were married to Paddy and Gay in 1916.
I was born to Paddy and Gay.
Married, sorry.
Oh yeah, Paddy and Gay, 1966. No, I'm very honest about how old I am, because it's everywhere. Oh, getting away from it. I'm 53 for anyone who is like myself and does their sums on their fingers.
So where did Paddy and Gay meet?
They met in Dublin. My mum is from the west of Ireland. My father, who's now dead, God rest him, was from Dublin. And they met in Dublin. Mum had come to work in Dublin. And they met and they got married. And then they went, my father worked in insurance, and they went to work with his company in London. And they had my brother, Francis, older than me. And then they went to Belfast, where then I appeared. But I was only there for a year, which is why I do not have the accent. People are always astonished I don't have the accent. But I try and do my good impersonation of the accent, but I won't do it now in case I offend the entire province. And then came down to Dublin, where my sister was born 7 years later.
So what did your dad do that he was moving around the place?
Well, he was working in insurance, but they were the only moves. It was just happened to be the time, and he was youngish within the company. And they.
So there was your older brother, you, and
Lucy. Yeah.
So just three.
You're the middle. A terrible crush on you. But anyway, we won't. Listen. And we lived up Sandyford Road.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's all coming out now.
Yeah. So what was the childhood like?
It was great. It was a childhood of sort of dogs and books. We were all mad into books. We were in three libraries at a time. The only problem would be actually giving the books back. Quite often the books would get lost in the sort of the house, household books. And that was wonderful. And then for summer holidays, we'd go down the country to my grandmother and my godfather, Matt, and we'd have a great time. And I was the chicken whisperer, and I'm not doing that again. I can do a very good chicken noise, but we'll stay away from that. By the way...
You said sheep earlier on. You forgot about that.
Sheep apparently are very good at reading emotions in other animals and in humans.
Sheep are?
Sheep are. You see?
Right.
There you go.
Have you ever heard a happy moo from a cow?
I don't know. I love cows. And they're lovely. You know, calves, if you put your hand in their mouth and they're, suckling the way they think is they're suckling their the mother's teeth.
Yes.
Although don't let your hand go all the way back in or you get a bite because of the teeth at the back.
Okay. You know a lot about this.
I know a lot.
Right. Okay. Now, sounds from your childhood. This is a song. It's not a sheep or a cow.
I'm dying to hear this. Which
this one here.
Istanbul was Constantinople. Oh. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Been a
that was released in 1953.
I know you're saying, how does she have that? Well, we had one of those compilation things that had a selection of mad songs on it, including like the Yellow Rose of Texas and a load of other deranged songs that I didn't fancy. But they had this, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
I found it on Spotify recently and I was like, wonderful, and I made the boys listen to it. I've twin boys of 16, and they were like, "Yeah, okay."
Well, there's a more modern version of it. When I say modern, I mean the 90s or the early noughties. They Might Be Giants.
Oh yeah, I remember They Might Be Giants. Yeah, and they had one.
They had a version of it, yeah, which is quite good. Maybe try out the twins when you go home.
I tried that out. Yeah. They've gone.
So you had the compilation, which was probably threadbare because you played it so often.
Listen. Yes. I mean, people didn't have records or
Collection. They had
record collection. Yeah. They had like six and they, got a big going over. Like we had, my father was into jazz,
right.
But he was into 1920s jazz, which is a very specific thing, which I have subsequently grown into. I love jazz. I write to jazz. But we also had, my mother was into Pat Boone, who I hated. God, mother, I'm sorry, Mom.
He was a crooner, sort of coiffed hair. And
I know, I just couldn't be into it. There was 40 of them. Sorry, Mom, I know you look papoon. Although she likes Mike. That's lovely country and western.
Mike Denver.
Other Mike. Mike, someone will remember it for us.
Mike English.
No. Actually, no good. We'll have to get her. Mom, ring in and tell us which Mike is.
Is he Irish?
Yes, he's Irish. I got.
Sounds like...
We'll get there eventually.
We'll get there, right. Okay. So that was your record collection.
Had Swan Lake, a double-side Tchaikovsky, and I used to dance around.
Look at you.
Pretend
you were posh.
I was a ballerina.
And were you a performer then? Was that?
I didn't perform anything. I think I did ballet for about 1 year when I was in national school, and Irish dancing for 2 or 3 years, and I was brutal at the Irish dancing.
If you encountered yourself now as a 3 or 4 year old, how would you describe yourself? How would you describe that little 3 or 4 year old?
I don't know. One of the things I can remember is being maybe four, and clearly there was some sort of performing gene in me because into ballet, we were doing this thing up in Benilda's school, and we had been about 8 years rehearsing it. And on the day, my parents are sitting there for 3 solid hours of ballet, and you know, me and the dance, the Little Flowers, we go in and we go out. And I had got it the lipstick beforehand and I had this big smear of lipstick all over. So I, you know, even then, that's what I could imagine.
Right. And dogs were...
Dogs were wonderful. I know. We had a beautiful dog called Velvet and I used to sit in her bed and when my brother went to school and I'd read her stories. I don't know if I was reading or if I was just remembering. The way kids do.
Yes.
You know. And one,
what age were you at that?
Well, say three.
Right.
I mean, I did know my letters and I could read when I reached a certain point of being three.
What type of dog was Velvet?
Red setter.
Oh, yeah.
And I named her.
You don't see many red setters around these days.
No, because they're stone mad.
Oh, are they?
They're beautiful. And they are, like we had, she was our first and we ended up having three. But they are mad as bicycles. Beautiful, beautiful.
Because remember the red setter was the emblem of the...
I know.
Of Bus Éireann.
Bus Éireann, I know. It was lovely. I didn't know how they must have had that dog very well trained because with the red setter, you let it off the lead. There was no way it was ever coming back till the mood took it.
And have you any idea what their history is? Were they hunt dogs or what sort?
Well, you know, the gun dogs.
Gun dogs, yes.
Yeah, but we always had ones who were gun shy. They came from the West and we always got them because they were gun shy. We got one who was A, gun shy and B, could not be bred from. So she turned up and my mother said, that dog is pregnant. And, you know, a local vet said, no, it's a phantom pregnancy, which does happen.
Does it?
Yeah, right. And then so she had 11 phantom pups not that long later.
Did she?
And every child in the road came in to have a look at the phantom pup.
And the day after, she came in with a rifle in her paw.
Oh, no, those little babies.
Yeah, yeah. So three, was it a busy house? What sort of a house was it?
It was busy enough. I mean, we lived in a housing estate and, you know, kids be in and out all the time. And my mum was brilliant with kids and all the kids loved to be, you know, right, in and out.
Yeah. So as you got a bit older then, went into secondary school, discovered boys and all that.
Well, I didn't really discover.
Did you not?
It took me a long time to discover boys. I'm a nerd.
You were a nerd.
Oh, I was a total nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a total... absolute signed up nerd. Yeah, I spent all my time in the library.
I read a piece recently about that you know, that word has been used in a derogatory way and it's used in bullying.
I wouldn't be at all surprised. I think I got away with, oh no, even then, being a nerd, I don't think they used the word nerd. I think it's a much more modern word. But I was, what was I? I can't remember the words they used to
brainy.
Use. Yeah, you're brainy. And, yeah. You know, but certainly it was derogatory. And, you know, but I slightly got away with it because I was a bit wacky. Okay, as you can see, it's followed me through.
So you're nerdy, wacky.
Nerdy, wacky.
Right.
And okay. Also, you know, I would help people with their art homework and, you know, and clearly not charge for it because I never had a bit of cop on in me. Ever.
Right. Okay. We're talking to Cathy Kelly. She's guiding us through the soundtrack to her life. I think we're up to age 11 or 12 now.
Oh, my God.
We'll continue with more after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Taking care of your winter coughs and colds at All Care, your local community pharmacy. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Writer Cathy Kelly is guiding us through the soundtrack to her life. SWAT.
SWAT.
What is the old word for nerd?
Yes, SWAT. Yeah, no, absolutely. A SWAT.
Yeah,
that would have been.
And
a
you
nice
said
one.
What was the other one you said during the break there? Brain box.
Brain box. Yeah.
I'll be singing Istanbul all day. Thank you. I think. just in case it's gone, let's give it another old blast there.
Istanbul was Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Been a long time gone. Oh, Constantinople still is Turkish delight on a moonlit night.
There you go.
You sort of imagine, I've never seen the guys, but I imagine sort of like four guys all looking like, you know, Dean Martin in suits. Sort of.
Yeah, the
singing.
Rat Pack. Yeah, I think it might have been. The Four Lads, that's what it was called, yeah. Four Lads. Love Cathy Kelly. Her books have gotten me through the best and worst times in my life.
Oh,
she's so gifted.
Thank you.
That's Maureen Longford. And love Cathy, she's gas. I buy a book of hers before every holiday.
Thank you.
You write a book a year.
I write a book a year and I'm currently writing one. Sort of slowly and fast and, you know.
21st.
Yeah, number 21.
When did the writing start?
Well, I always loved writing. I used to tell my little sister, I used to tell my Teddy's stories before my sister came along. I used to tell my little sister stories in bed when she came along. I was the horrible one. I used to be morto, as they say, that they'd read out, you know, send me around to classes to read out my essays, you know. So I was always that person. But I didn't know you could do it as a job. I mean, for a long time I wanted to be a jockey, and I am certainly short enough.
And where did that come from?
Being a jockey?
Yeah.
I loved horses. And down the country now, my godfather, beautiful Matt, got us a horse, but it was an unbroken horse. And yeah, and we had no saddle. But this is survival riding, I tell you. By God, Ray,
what you call it, survival riding?
Survival riding. I can stay on a horse. Yeah. But I love animals. I love animals, full stop. But no, I don't think I'd actually like to have been a jockey now when I think about it.
Yeah. But the writing, so your essays were notable.
Well, apparently. Yes. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure.
And you enjoy doing it.
I loved doing it.
And then, as we know, the key to a happy life
is to do what you love.
Yeah.
But I ended up doing journalism, and because, you know, I left school when I was 17. I started school when I was young. So you're there, sure. Who knows what you want to do, for God's sake? It's, you know.
What you do in college?
I did journalism in DIT in Rathmines. At the time, it was a 2-year certificate course. And I only got in because somebody, I didn't get in. There were 25 places, and then somebody changed their mind and I got the last place. I'm blathering on here.
You're not. I was just...
sorry, I'm deaf.
They're flashing something up. Just say we have a 2-minute break to take before 4 o'clock, but we're plenty of time.
Okay.
Don't worry.
I'll watch the clock too.
That was particularly difficult to get into that course.
It was very difficult to get into. Yeah. So I wasn't in the slightest bit surprised when I didn't get into it. You had to do an interview as well. So I was trying to be thrilling and exciting and fabulous. And anyway, because clearly I didn't do well enough. But someone, I must have been number 26th on the list, and someone left and or didn't take up the place, and I got it. So I missed the first week, and then I was there. I was in college.
And when you got to that stage, it was journalism then.
Yeah.
It wasn't books in your head, or was that always the dream?
See, books was the... I didn't have a 5-year plan. You know those people who have a 5-year plan? I mean,
I don't know many of them, to be honest.
No, neither do I. Yeah. You know, like I never had any sort of a plan. It was like, let's see what happens. And I thought, well, I like writing, we'll do this. And I went into college completely convinced that everyone would be like me and would be reading like maniacs. And they weren't. I mean, there were some people who read hugely, but, you know, very, very few. It was a different sort of thing. And so I spent a lot of time in the college library the way I had spent it in the school library.
You know? Reading.
Because yeah. there was a shyness in me behind the sort of the mad facade.
Yes. And then you found comfort in books.
Yeah.
And you could go places.
You're never alone. You're never alone with a book.
Yeah. So were you constantly then, because I've spoken to people before who do a certain thing and they're constantly playing it out in their heads until eventually they do it.
Yeah.
Were you planning books in your head, and were you looking at people and going, they'd be a great character for a book, or that person, or that what happened to me the other day, I could include that in a book?
Yes, I think I was always planning it. When I was in college, my mum and I decided we were going to write a book together. We were going to write a Mills and Boone.
Aha, because they're writers for hire, aren't they?
Yeah, they're writers for hire. And it's an amazing skill. I mean, people slag it desperately. It's a phenomenal skill. And there's some wonderful Irish Mills and Boone writers. And, you know, we had an old golf ball secondhand typewriter that had the E was a bit dodgy, and my mother couldn't type at the time. So she'd write, you know, longhand, and I'd go to college and I'd come home and she'd have written, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then heroine goes into room, describe room. I was supposed to describe the room. So it didn't entirely work out. Now, we had a great laugh while we were doing it.
And then you submitted it.
Oh, Lord, we didn't get that far.
Surely. Oh, no, you didn't.
I think we realised it was...
And what about when it came to the romantic scenes, you write with your mother?
There wasn't, nothing happened.
All right.
Those ones. It was sort of like Barbara Cartland. It was
long lingering looks.
There were long lingering looks. Now, I mean, I believe there's some very hot,
there are
modern ones that I haven't had a look at. But
now, I haven't read them. I just read about them.
Yeah. Okay. I know, we all believe you.
No, so, but we actually interviewed her. Her name escapes me, but there is an Irish one.
There
Irish
is a wonderful Irish writer
who writes for Mills and Boone.
Yes, exactly. And I, you know what? All people who write for a living, who make their living writing, should be, you know, treated with absolute respect.
Yeah.
I can't bear this differentiation between this is high art, this is low art. Let's stop that, or get me poisonous toad from the Amazon, and we'll all be horribly wrong.
Now, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this commercial break because if not, we'll be punished, penalised, and we have to pay a fine. So I'll get this out of the way and then we'll have a couple more minutes to talk before Nocht.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Taking care of a healthier you for 2020 at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
So College Sunday World, 20 bucks. There you go.
That's me. I'm going now.
That's you. That's you. The late Maeve Binchy. Would you have been in her company a lot?
I wouldn't have been in her company a lot. I met her quite a few times and I thought she was fantastic. I mean, she was the absolute queen. I know people always use that word. I'm sorry, I shouldn't use it. But she was so brilliant and she wasn't possibly respected enough because of her complete ability to describe something in 10 words that it would take someone else 50 words to do it. So she was phenomenal. I loved her.
And the late Emma Hannigan, you were very close.
We were, you know, she was my best friend and, you know, my heart is broken. But for her, I feel I shouldn't say my heart's broken, but her wonderful...
Well, your heart could be, it is broken, yeah.
But, you know, I still have her number on my phone and I look at it and the number of times I think, I'll ring Em and I'll tell you that. And I went, oh, I can't ring Em. An amazing, amazing person. You can't begin to describe how amazing she was, because basically to spend 11 years within the aegis of cancer and to keep going and to write books and to look after her beautiful family. And she literally hung on there till her children were as old as she possibly could be. I mean, phenomenal.
Amazing woman. Amazing woman. We spoke to her dad in here. He's a,
you know, Philip.
Yeah, lovely man.
Beautiful Philip.
And I said to him at the time that I used to be out in his house with Timmy.
Yes.
Recording Timmy. Songs for Zig and Zag, etc. And my memory of them is that they used to have that Ramboots or Rambo's coffee.
Yes.
It's a little container to put on top of the...
I thought that was the last...
Pure posh.
Yeah,
pure
that
posh.
Was wicked posh, yeah.
Pure posh. Yeah. Anyway, so I mentioned it to him while we were chatting and then a couple of days later, a box of them arrived into the office.
That would be Philip. Oh, yeah, he's just an amazing man.
Yeah. Just on the red setter, Mitch says, the Irish setter painting on the bus Aaron was by my sister.
Oh my goodness. What a wonderful
correct
artist
myself,
she
sister-in-law, Kathleen Bride, and was based on a dog called Guinness. A lovely dog, says Mitch. And really enjoying the show, listening to the youthful and energetic Cathy Kelly. And thanks for speaking to Cathy. I went to therapy in my 60s. And thanks, Cathy, for speaking out. It made a big difference. And back in the 90s, the then journalist with the Sunday World did an article about my then 3-year-old son, Patrick, in Crumlin Hospital. As a result, he got to go to Disney Orlando and had his day in the sun. He died the following year. Thank you, Cathy, for giving him that sunny day.
God, that's
Patrick Sr. from Clondalkin.
Patrick, love. I mean, your beautiful little boy. He's in your heart. He'll always be in so many people's hearts. Oh, that's just wonderful.
That's a sad but lovely memory. We got... you know, to bits and pieces of the soundtrack to your life. You can have a choice because music was obviously a big part of your life. So I'll give you a choice of three bits of songs there. Rebel Rebel by David Bowie, Le Freak by Chic, or Betty Boo, Doing the Do.
Well, I'll tell you, can we do a teeny bit of Rebel Rebel, which is when I was 15 and I fell in love with David Bowie and I found out I could dance. Well, I don't know if other people would say I could dance, but I felt I could dance and it was just, I still dance. And to the horror of my beautiful sons, but Rebel Rebel.
They're listening. Dancing with the Stars are listening now. There you go. Next year.
No.
The call will be in.
I'm too arthritic and ancient. And I'm not.
You're only in your 50s.
I know. No, sorry. I never actually say that. No, I am seriously arthritic. No, I would love to do it. But
you can dance.
I don't know if I can dance.
Right, give us a look
there. Training at all now. You know.
Rebel, rebel.
Cathy Kelly, it's been a real pleasure having you in to guide us through the soundtrack to your life. The family gift is your 20th book.
Da, 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 da.
You know that, I'm just telling our listeners. Honest, funny, clever, I loved it, says Marion Keyes. Well, she is a friend of yours.
She is, exactly so.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Cathy.
Ireland.
Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you.
Anish Toshi, now in the Free Skelton and Nocta, and Marion Ní Húlaháin. Greg Allen, thank you very much. Gramagod Mary Ni Hulawan, 51551 ray@rte.ie. We're joined in studio by Enya Martin.
How's it going?
Give us a laugh.
Yeah, I'll give you a laugh, don't worry.
Because we've spoken before, but just to fill people in. So you started with videos on Facebook. That's right, yeah.
I started off doing videos at the end of 2014, and then in 2017, and then I moved on to stage. I started doing stand-up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. What's it like out there? Because we're down the dungeons here, as you can see. I was saying that was a lovely day when I was coming down at 3 o'clock. What's it like up there?
Yeah, well, I was coming in, I was listening to the radio, and we've yellow weather warning now, like it's going to be really low temperatures,
right.
But God forbid it doesn't snow, we run out of bread again. But I mean, like, even the whole climate crisis issue that's going on, like in Australia and stuff, like you can notice it. Like, do you remember the summer of 2018? Actually, 2018 in general, the weather.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, like extreme snow, like extreme cold weather. And then we had an extreme summer too. Like,
yeah.
We run out of water when it's too warm. I mean, we run out of bread when it snows. Like, do you know what I mean? It's only a matter of time before Band-Aid write a song about us. It's just like, I remember I went to Mass that week, the bad snow, and even the priest done away with the holy breads, and he just held up a batch loaf, you know, and right. Said the body of Christ, he was like butter on mayo. Like, that's how bad it got. But yeah, like, and then, like, do you remember Irish Water were encouraging you to rat on your neighbour during that summer if you were using the hose?
Yes,
yeah. I mean, our neighbourhood watched.
I don't think anybody did that, though. I think there was only two cases.
Oh, no, they were encouraging you to rat on your neighbour. Yeah.
Were they?
50
yeah.
euro if you catch Sharon Water and the Busy Lizzies, yeah. I remember our neighbourhood watch group even renamed themselves the Jehovah's Witnesses. Like, that's how bad it got. You know?
Yeah. You were saying there that you were hoping that you sounded okay.
Yeah.
Why do you worry that you sound okay?
I don't know, because you know, I've done interviews in the past and even videos in the past, and I do a podcast myself as well, and you know, the amount of people who'd be like, I couldn't hear you properly, and yeah, because I actually, when I'm in other counties and stuff like that, and I have some English fans too, and they're like, you speak very fast, and it's because I'm a dub, you know, like I grew up on a council estate and I'm still living there with me folks, and I don't know what it is, like we just speak too quickly, don't we?
Yeah, really, it's interesting even the way you say when you go to other counties, it's like a different country.
It is, though, you know, like I'm not gonna.
When was the first time you went past Newlands Cross?
Cross to the other side of the track.
Yeah.
Well, I actually had a gig up in Cavender.
Did you?
2 weeks ago.
Right,
yeah.
How did that go for you?
Well, it was in no man's land, and
don't know where. No,
really,
oh, it's not
it
addressed.
Really in the middle of nowhere, and like, you know, the roads are treacherous up there. Like, there's no streetlights or anything. And like, you know, we couldn't even get phone signal. We got lost. Like, even Google Maps was like, here, you're on your own, pal, you know. But yeah, I actually got a good turn out there and I was surprised. So I'm starting to branch out Dublin now and step outside my comfort zone.
Yeah, I see you're down in Cork, the real capital.
Yeah.
That's what they say. Prince of Wales Hotel in Athlone, and the Watergate Theatre in Kilkenny, and then down to Waterford as well. And in the middle of all that, March 28th and April 4th, you are in Vicar Street.
Vicar Street, yeah. That'd be me fifth and sixth time.
What was it like doing your first Vicar Street? Because that's the holy grail, isn't it, of stand-up comedy in Ireland?
You know, not only is it my hometown, but like it's just a different buzz altogether. Like, I mean, the thing is, I remember I was actually talking to comedian Jason Bourne before, and he said, well, there's 1,000 people in the room when 100 people laugh, you hear it. But when there's 100 people in the room and only 10 people laugh, it's daunting, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, you could just say anything in Vicar Street and people laugh, you know? There's two people, like, on their back laughing. It's great. I love it.
But that's because you're funny, Enya.
Yeah, well, I hope people think so, you know? But
What does your fella think of all this?
I was about to bring that up, like the amount of lads who go with their girlfriends and actually end up enjoying. And now he's sick to death coming to see me because he's heard the set so many times. And I also give him death when I'm on stage.
Oh, do you give him death?
Oh, I give him death, yeah.
Slag him.
I mean, even a proper comedian, if you don't bring a relationship into it. I mean, we're together now about 12 years, but we're not engaged, you know. Someone doesn't want to rush it. But,
Which one wants? Because you know it's a leap year this year.
I know. Do you know what, Ray? I would get down on one knee, but you know what men are like while I'm down there. But we actually met on Vivo. Do you remember Vivo?
You see, you know, I missed all that. Everything. I've missed everything. But Bebo was the precursor to Facebook.
Yeah, but that's who people are meeting these days, isn't it, through social media?
Yeah.
Like, years ago, I remember I said to my nanny, I was like, Nanny, how did you meet Granda? She said, well, we were at an AA meeting. And yeah, Granda stood up and said, fuck this, I'm going for a drink. And my nanny said, hold it, or I'll go with you. You know? They actually used to call me Granda the Exorcist because he went into your house, there'd be no spirits left. He was that bad, he was. But yeah, that's how we met, 12 years together.
Yeah. And so he doesn't go along to the gigs anymore?
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes it's a bit off putting when he comes to the gigs because it feels like your mad dad's watching you. You know, you feel like I actually feel more on edge when a member of my family comes rather than a member of the public, the general public, you know, because you feel like you don't want to embarrass yourself. And
it's odd, isn't it?
It is. It's very odd. I mean, I would rather kind of be humiliated in front of 100 strangers than be humiliated in front of him. Like, I mean, I've had some like bad gigs, all comedians do, and he was there. I think he's like a bad luck charm at this stage.
Is he?
Yeah.
And would he comfort you after? Afterwards, put his arm around you and go, it's okay, and you're brilliant. I think you're really funny.
Well, God love him, do you know what I mean? Because he doesn't know what to be saying to me. All he can say is, you know, the next one will be better. And yeah, he really hasn't got a clue. And it does me head in when he tries to kind of give his opinion. Maybe you should have interacted with the audience a bit more. You get up on the stage and you try to do it, you know? Well, yeah, God love him.
What does he do?
He's actually, do you know what? Like, I got into this industry by accident. I found my calling by accident, I call it. And with him, like, he was a bit of a messer in school. And he didn't go to college when he did his leaving, after his leaving. And he ended up being a pot washer in a kitchen. He got his next door neighbour got him the job. It was out in Intel. And, you know, 6 years later, he's a head chef now and he works for Primark.
Brilliant.
Yeah, like, it's really just goes to show that
yeah.
you don't kind of have to force yourself.
And does it was that his calling?
Yeah, like he absolutely loves it. He loves cooking. And I wouldn't mind, like, he always says to me, you know, you should try and make something for me. But anytime we go out to a restaurant, it's horrible. He just picks the meals apart.
Yeah.
It's not enjoyable whatsoever.
Right. So you won't be going out for a romantic meal then for Valentine's?
Oh, God, no. No, not Valentine's Day. But, I mean, I was, do you know what? Like, it starts to become another day, doesn't it, Valentine's Day, after so long? I mean, like, I was in Penny's actually the other day buying lingerie for the fella because he loves wearing it for me. And there's something about Harry Potter logos in there, isn't it? Has Harry Potter got shares in that place now? Has he?
Yeah, like, but they do all that. They do Spider-Man, Harry Potter, the whole lot.
Oh, I felt like I should be wearing a sorting hat walking through the place. Like, you know what I mean? Just Gryffindor logos everywhere. I burst into the bedroom that night, Expelliarmus. That's what it was like. But yeah, Valentine's Day it is. It just becomes another day, doesn't it? Even
nurseries. Yeah, yeah. And then if you go to restaurants, it's all these couples, all a bit awkward. And then because the restaurant's so busy, the service probably isn't as good as it should be and the food probably isn't as good
as
it
should be. That's another thing. Every time we go out for something to eat and the food comes out too quick, that's not fresh. That's not fresh. And yeah, look how quick that came out. That's not fresh. I can't enjoy my food anymore, you know?
Yeah, but I suppose similar for you and him sitting down watching something funny on the telly and you're going, that's not funny.
Yeah,
I know what he did there.
We actually went to see a comedian last night in the Olympia, Paul Smith. He's a fella from Liverpool, but I just can't enjoy it when I watch comedians anymore. You just keep comparing yourself.
Yeah.
You do. You're like, how did I not think of that joke? It's so simple, so straightforward. And he got the tickets for my birthday and he's like, you're not enjoying this, aren't you? And I was like, I just can't look at it and not think objectively, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It is. You're just, it's a constant battle. But yeah, he was good anyway, but...
I say as you get older, it'll be easier to go along and see other comedians.
You do. Maybe. You have to just switch off. But I wouldn't mind. When I do watch comedy shows, I actually do get a lot of ideas and it just kind of, it gets the creative wheels turning in the head, you know?
How are you on Chinese dumplings?
I actually don't think I've ever tried one, to
right.
be honest.
Well, today is your lucky day.
Oh,
and
really?
Man. Yes, because we're going to take a commercial break and then we're going to invite in May and Ava and they're going to introduce you and me to some Chinese dumplings.
I look forward to it.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Taking care of your protection against flu this winter at All Care, your local community pharmacy.
Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Tomorrow is the Chinese New Year.
I don't. Is it?
Is it?
Wow, I think it's the 25th.
25th.
Oh, the 25th. I thought tomorrow was 25th. That's wishful thinking on my part. I was wishing January away. I was wishing January away. So tomorrow isn't the 25th of January. Oh, no. So we have another 2 weeks of January. Anyway.
Start making dumplings now, though.
So tomorrow week is the Chinese New Year. And the Dublin Chinese New Year Festival is taking place. And to celebrate that, we have Mei Chen and Eva Pao in studio, and they're going to introduce me and Enya to dumplings. Eva, good to see you again.
Yes.
May, lovely. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me in.
Will you put dumplings in context for us?
So dumplings is a New Year food. This is something that fascinates me, is that dumplings as a New Year food is a strictly northern Chinese tradition. It means that, and it makes sense, right? Because in the north of China, it gets really cold. Mm-hmm. There's no rice that grows there. It's wheat, you know, which is the wrappers. And you actually start making dumplings around now. A family will stockpile them.
So you, it's a week of preparation.
It's a week, 2 weeks, and the family will stockpile them and keep them outside where they will freeze. Uh-huh. So you can eat them until springtime.
Okay. Now, so a dumpling is a circle of, is it a pastry or what? How would you describe it?
Like a ravioli.
A ravioli. It's like an Asian pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Okay. And how do you make that?
Okay. Well, in front of you, you have like this lovely dumpling wrapper. So you can make it yourself using like wheat flour and water. And then you kind of roll it out into like first a little dough ball, and then you flatten it with like a kind of a smaller rolling pin. So a thinner, smaller dumpling rolling pin. And then you arrive with that lovely dumpling, flat dumpling wrapper.
Yes.
And then you can put lots of different yummy fillings inside. So the most traditional one that myself and May really love is the pork, prawn and Chinese chives. So the Chinese chives, I guess you wouldn't really get it in your local kind of supermarket.
So they're like skinny scallions.
Yeah.
Skinny spring
kind
onions.
Of a, kind of a, like there's a kind of a probably a stronger smell.
There's a
to
grassy
it, but
garlic
it,
flavor
okay.
to it.
Right.
And it's very distinct. Also the Chinese name for it is called jiu cai.
Mm.
So jiu is also, Chinese love puns. So jiu also means long live, like long life, and mm-hmm. And cai can be sort of what is it? Fortune, money,
fortune,
right?
Yeah.
So you can see this as sort of a lucky vegetable because
okay.
it has a pun.
Chinese chives,
jiu cai.
Yours an American accent.
Yes.
Yeah, but your parents are from.
My parents actually grew up in Taiwan, but my father would have been from the south of China, and my mother was from the north of China.
Uh-huh. And Eva, we've spoken to you before. So
my parents would be from the south of China,
right?
But I
okay.
grew up here, so
yes, yeah. And your family run the Asian market,
yeah.
Yes, in Drury Street and where's
in
the
Ballymount
other?
As well.
In
yeah.
Ballymount as well. Okay, now so fillings. What sort of fillings are we dealing with today? The chives and eggs.
This is the prawn, pork, and Chinese chive.
Right.
And this is the egg and chive. So you can have like a vegetarian option.
Okay.
And I've basically marinated it with like some soy sauce, salt, white pepper, some Shaoxing wine. And so it's you don't need to put too many things inside it.
And are they just boiled like you do ravioli?
Yes. So you see the good thing about it, there's so many ways to cook it because traditionally you'll boil it, but then like if I want to cook this the next day, I can pan fry it so I can get a crispy bottom to it.
Oh,
as well.
Nice. I like
so,
crispy bottom.
Yeah. So, and you can steam it as well.
Yes.
So there's just so many different options and ways to cook it.
Okay. Do you want to try making one, Enya?
Yes, here.
I'll try.
Because obviously May and Eva made them before.
Here, I'll give you. So here.
We're going to.
I'll put some dumpling filling.
Right.
I never tried it before, so I don't know if I'm allergic to anything, but clam culture is big in Dublin. I just want to warn you. So.
I'm going to give you some of this pork one because it's probably maybe easier to wrap for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And like, this is the biggest celebration of the year in China.
This is definitely
New
Year. It's 2 weeks, right?
I was
reading that it's the biggest migration of people in the world. Because the population of China is so big and so many people travel home to their friends and family.
Oh, really?
And that's the biggest movement of people in the year in the world.
I think
it is. No, you're yeah. absolutely right. And yes, and traffic is, you know, and air traffic and
crazy.
You know, train traffic is, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Is that where they go around with the face masks, don't they? Like they're really kind of like very conscious of germs and stuff. In China, aren't
and
they?
And also to keep themselves.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. Okay,
I'm going to give you a little dumpling now. So if you put the wrapper and the filling in your left hand.
Left hand,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, and then.
Are you following this, Anya?
Bit yeah. of water here.
Yeah.
So because you want to kind of seal the wrapper.
Oh,
so
I see what you're doing. Yes, yes,
dip
yes.
Dip the water and.
There you go. We're doing this. This is great. Yeah. And then.
So one way to kind of seal it is to. Quick, just pinch it at the top.
Yeah.
So kind of fold it over in a half moon shape.
I'd say part of the knack of this is not putting too much filling in.
It is. It is.
Hey, it is. See, there, I worked that out myself. I worked that out myself.
You know, like a burrito where it falls apart. Like,
yeah, you don't want, and you see that you think that.
Because to keep it sealed, it's so important, because if the water goes in, it's just not going to be that tasty.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so.
Right, I've sealed it. I've pinched it at the top. Are you pinching yours at the top there?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, then use one finger to just push it in and pinch it again.
And pinch it again?
Yeah, and then you kind of pinch it again and pinch it again. Like,
oh, I see what you're doing there now.
So we make kind of a love heart.
Kind of like a little pleat.
Yeah,
I
didn't do that well now there at all, but there you go.
But like, no, you've pleated on the perfectly on that.
Have I?
Yeah. So
you've done very nicely.
Right. How's
so
yours,
you just
Enya?
Push it in.
Is this it or
no? Yours, their filling is sticking
filling
out
is
there.
I'm.
It's protruding. Your filling is protruding.
So,
but it's like so much fun if you.
That's the last thing you want, May. Is your
so
protruding
is,
filling,
this
isn't
a
it?
A protruding filling. So I do it differently, and filling. I would say that. Some people, so I can show you, hold on.
Yeah.
Some people find it easier.
The whole fun around this is that families gather together and make the dumplings.
And it is, and but it's a northern Chinese
thing. But you see the crack we were having? So and you see the crack we were having doing this?
That's, oh, yeah, yeah.
But also, the loneliest thing you can do is to try to make dumplings
on
by
your
yourself.
Own.
It's a
bad sign.
Yes.
It's a yeah, well, that's, you know, that's sad.
It, does it? So
I think I've done a good job there.
Oh, I think you've done a very good job.
Can I taste one of the cooked ones?
Yes.
Because we're running out of time. Eva, are you familiar with what's happening around the festival?
I am.
Yes. So would you tell us there while I'm sampling one of these?
On the 25th and 26th, there's a lovely spring festival gala, and it's the first year out in the Smithfield Market. So that'll be amazing. There's going to be performances and food and everything there. And then the following weekend, we actually have a dumpling day in store.
Right.
On the Friday, we have a dumpling day where you can taste like lots of different fillings, like there's Korean dumplings, Japanese dumplings, and it's like free for people to drop in. And then that weekend, we also have the food extravaganza, which is going to happen in Drury Street and also Ballymount. So basically we have about 30 suppliers across like Europe and Asia who are coming over and doing kind of like free kind of stands so that people can get like
sampling. Wow, that's exciting. How did you find that, Enya? Now that's a cook.
That was lovely. There's so much flavour,
isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a dipping
really
sauce there as well.
Dipping sauce.
So I was just going to say, one of the things that I love to say about dumplings is they're granny food, they're grandmother food. And I actually asked Eva to pair, this is called La Gamma sauce. It's actually called grandmother hot sauce.
Oh, right.
And so I love pairing the grandmother dumplings
with the grandmother hot sauce.
Grandmother hot sauce.
Yeah, it's comfort food. It's delicious. It's really delicious. Thanks so much. I'm going to make sure that we do this every Friday. We're going to have food in the studio every Friday. We're going to try.
Come too, can I?
You're invited. You're invited. Enya, thanks very much. Good luck with the gigs.
You.
Eva, thank you. Yeah. Happy New Year in advance. And May, thanks so much for coming in. That's
Happy
it from us.
Year.
Mary Wilson is on the way. We are back on Monday. I hope we have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday at 3 o'clock.
Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Talk to us about protecting yourself from flu this winter at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.